The Holy Gospel according to Luke in the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
He entered Jericho and was passing through it. And a man was there named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who's a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He didn't belong in that tree. Not Zacchaeus. Not the chief tax collector, not the one who built his fortune on the back of imperial economics. Not the man whose name became synonymous with betrayal. That tree, the sycamore fig, was a place for children to climb, not grown men carrying the weight of other people's despair. And yet there he is, climbing, watching, maybe hiding, maybe hoping. Zacchaeus wasn't short on money or power or political leverage, but somewhere along the way he'd come up short on something harder to name. He had status but no belonging, wealth but no witness. The crowd wouldn't make space for him, not physically, not spiritually, because he was no longer one of them. He'd sold that birthright to Rome. But still he climbs. Not to touch, not to speak, just to see. And sometimes that's all faith begins with. A flicker of curiosity, a flicker of courage, a hunger for something more. But Jesus doesn't do long-distance spirituality. He walks straight to the base of the tree, looks up, sees the man no one wants to see, and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today." There's no altar call, no theological vetting, no list of sins to confess, just the wild grace of being seen and sought by Jesus. And the crowd? They grumble. And they're not wrong to grumble, because Zacchaeus had hurt them. He'd taken food from their children's mouths. He'd evicted families, funded soldiers, leveraged debt like a sword. So, yes, their rage was righteous. Their wounds were real. Their grief deserved to be named. Maybe in that crowd was Miriam, whose husband had been imprisoned after failing to pay his taxes. Maybe Reuben, whose farmland had been seized. Maybe Levi, who still wakes up sweating from the knock on the door. So when Jesus says he's going to Zacchaeus' house, it's not just offensive, it's infuriating. And this is the dissonance. What do we do when mercy offends our sense of justice? The team from A Sanctified Art says it well in the devotional: the gospel isn't offensive because of who it keeps out, but because of who it lets in. And that's what rankled this crowd. And that's what still rankles us. We've worked so hard to be on the right side, to believe correctly, to love radically, to dismantle systems, and then Jesus bypasses us and goes home with the one who helped build those systems. And we're still, from the crowd's view, Zacchaeus hasn't even promised to change. There's no apology, no tears, no reparations, just desire. And still Jesus stays. He doesn't wait for repentance to show up. He shows up first. And it's that presence, so disarming, so undeserved, that makes repentance possible. Zacchaeus doesn't just come down from the tree. He comes down from the system, from the power, from the persona that he has built. And it's not just symbolic. He says, "Look, Lord, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I'll repay them fourfold." This isn't just a performative gesture, it's reparative economics. He's not just apologizing, he's redistributing. He's not just praying, he's undoing, not just giving back, but giving away what once defined him. And that fourfold repayment, it's not a random number. That's the legal mandate under Jewish law for intentional theft. Zacchaeus isn't dodging his past. He's facing it, naming it, and making it right. And that, Jesus says, is salvation. Today, salvation has come to this house. Not tomorrow, not after a probation period, but today. And notice, too, that he doesn't say salvation has come to Zacchaeus. He says to this house. Because salvation's not just spiritual, it's social. It's not just personal, it's political. It doesn't just save a soul, it transforms a structure. In the Greek, the word for salvation, soteria, doesn't only mean forgiveness, it also means deliverance, restoration, wholeness. Zacchaeus doesn't just find absolution. He finds belonging. He's called not out, but in, into relationship, into repair, into community. And that's where the story opens up for us. Because we live in a world where injustice has been systematized. Where billionaires amass wealth while minimum wage workers skip meals. Where black and brown communities are over-policed, underfunded, redlined, and erased. Where healthcare and housing and education remain privileges instead of rights. Zacchaeus isn't a relic of history. He's the CEO who exploits overseas labor. He's the senator who votes to preserve corporate tax loopholes. He's the landlord who profits from gentrification and scarcity, the investor who treats the earth like a disposable asset. But he's also something else. He's a mirror. Because if we're honest, there's some Zacchaeus in us. We've benefited directly or indirectly from systems that harm others. We've clicked checkout at 2 a.m., ignoring the hands that stitched the seams of the clothing we just ordered. We've turned off the news. We've muted the names. We've let convenience cradle our complicity. And we may not have climbed the corporate ladder on someone's back, but we haven't always asked whose back built the ladder. The scandal of this story is that Jesus doesn't cancel Zacchaeus. He calls him down. He calls him in. He doesn't demand guilt. He invites him to dinner. He doesn't shame him into change. He loves him into transformation. Because righteousness and mercy aren't opposites. They're inseparable. Biblical righteousness means right relationship with neighbor, with stranger, with God. It's not moral perfection. It's moral repair. And Zacchaeus begins that repair, not because he was coerced, but because he was called in gently, personally, by name, and the call was mercy. And so the question for us is, will we be a community that makes room for that kind of mercy? Will we celebrate transformation even when it comes from the ones who failed us? Will we rejoice when wealth is redistributed, or will we grumble that Jesus is staying at the wrong house? Or more intimately, what trees have you climbed to avoid being seen? What systems have lifted you while leaving others behind? What would it mean for you to come down, to come clean, to come home? Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Not just those who've lost their way, but those who've lost their place, lost their dignity, lost their name, even those who've lost their soul in pursuit of power. Jesus comes for all of it. The broken and the breakers, the victims and the villains, the self-righteous and the silently complicit. And his mercy still offends because it includes us all. Maybe salvation isn't about escaping judgment. Maybe it's about finally coming home to a community where grace rewrites the story and where justice rebuilds and restores the house. So come down. Maybe your feet have splinters. Maybe your soul is tired. But the climb is over, the ground is soft, and the bread is still warm. The table is set. It's time to eat. Amen.